Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Here's what Jesus said to his followers: "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, have any of you ever heard of Pastor Fred Phelps, Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas? Anybody ever hear of him? George has. I saw Angela roll her eyes, so I think she has. Well, if you want to go to this church's website, you go to www.godhatesfags.com. And you will see them picketing with signs that say, "God hates fags." You'll see them picketing various events. They've even picketed funerals of our slain soldiers with their sign, because the military has homosexuals in it. And when a soldier dies, they go and picket his funeral because of that, with their signs, "God hates fags." And they say God hates America. They hold the American flag upside down, things of that nature. I think that's judging. I think that's going way overboard in judging. And it's very sad. And I think that's the attitude that a lot of people out there who are living in sin have of Christianity. They look at us as that. And we're not that, or we shouldn't be that. On a lighter note, some of you who haven't watched this show in many years, but years ago I used to watch Saturday Night Live because it was pretty funny. Back in the day, you know, when some of the good comedians were on there. And anybody remember the church lady? Data Carvey? Yeah, he was the church lady. He dressed up in the costume and he'd come on there and had his holier-than-thou snooty attitude about everybody who wasn't a Christian. It was kind of funny, but unfortunately, it's only funny because it's true. And it really does represent a large number of Christians and their attitudes. So Jesus says here that we are not to judge as Christians. Now, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to call sin, sin. We are supposed to make a distinction between what is right and what is wrong. But listen, we cannot hold the world to the standard of Christ. They're not Christians. They're sinners. All right? And we can't go out there and condemn them in their sin. You know what? Proverbs chapter 6 talks about seven things that God hates. And did you know that homosexuality is not on that list? These are the top, you know, like, what's his name? What's the comedian that has the top 10 every night? What's that?
Letterman.
Yeah, David Letterman. Yeah, well, God has the top seven of things that make him mad, that he hates, all right? He hates homosexuality, I'll tell you that, but it's not on his top seven list. All right, here they are. It's from Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. He says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him." Number one on the list, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you know number one is a proud look? It's the church lady. Okay? Number one of the things God hates. It's the church lady. It's the people who look down their noses at other people because they're not as good as I am. It's judgmentalism. Okay? That comes from pride. It comes from pride. Listen, we are all to be living holy lives. Right? But you know what? We need to let our lives condemn, not our mouth. Jesus said when he sent the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin. He will. Since when do we take over his job? It's not up to us to tell people how wicked they are. Now, we do need to talk about sin, and we do need to talk about right and wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't mention the subject. But we should not do it in a way that condemns them personally. All right? Let the Holy Spirit do it. Now, let's move on. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. Verse 3. Matthew 7, verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. That's a one-word sentence. Hypocrite. Now, he's calling them hypocrites. Why? Because they're doing some wicked things? Why is he calling them hypocrites? Look at the text. You tell me. Why is he calling them hypocrites? What is the plank that's in their eye? Their judgmentalism. Their judgmentalism. Their pride. Because people who are judgmental and look down their noses at other people are proud. All right? They're proud. You know, James said, and remember James in James chapter 3, verse 2, he said, we all stumble in many ways. And here he is, the brother of Jesus, the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And James says, look, not you all stumble in many ways, we all stumble in many ways. If James could say that, what does that mean? It means all of us as Christians stumble in many ways, right? We all make mistakes. We have no business judging others. That's God's job. I think it's kind of unusual or strange that this poll that I gave you, it said 87% said Christians are judgmental and 85% said Christians are hypocrites, and Jesus uses the same two terms right here in this passage. He says, judge not in verse 1, then he calls them hypocrites in verse 5. He's kind of you know what Jesus is doing? He's agreeing with that 40% who don't call themselves Christians. That's what he's doing. We're all sinners. And we need to keep in mind how far we are from God's holiness ourselves. Okay? Each one of us are sinners. And we look at here's God's holiness here. Okay? And your righteousness, it's like down here. Okay? Well, that person you're condemning, his is just a little less than yours. But what God requires is here. Okay? Now, why are you pointing to him and telling him he's condemned? Or judging? Why are you doing that? Right? You should be looking at yourself. And we should all be falling on our faces before God and relying on his grace and his mercy. You see, the whole point of the gospel is that even though we are not perfect, even though we are sinners, Christ died for us and he loved us. So really, the gospel is not about this part down here. It's about this part up here. It's about the grace of God. And if we're going to reach people and if we're going to minister to people, our focus has got to be the grace of God. All right? The grace of God. Now, does that mean we never mention sin? No. You know, Jesus taught here with his words on how we as Christians are to interact with the world around us. But Jesus also taught by his actions. Isn't that right? Jesus, we're supposed to follow Christ. That means we follow what he said, and we also follow what he does. And he set some examples for us. So I want to set one example for you. There's two examples he set here. Go to John chapter 8, verse 2. Now early in the morning, he, that is Jesus, came again to the temple, and the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees, and by the way, the scribes and the Pharisees, that's the church lady. Okay? That's the look down your nose at the wicked person. All right, the religious leaders. They brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." I want you to notice something about his response. Their perspective was comparing her to God's standard. Right? They were accusing her by saying, look, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Here's what the law of Moses said. Here's what God's standard was. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And they were to be stoned to death. What did Jesus do? He pointed their attention horizontally, not vertically. Right? In other words, why are you comparing her to my standard and not comparing yourself to my standard? Compare her to you. Okay? You see what he's doing? He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. Why? Because they were sinners. Maybe they didn't do that exact sin, but they were sinners. One by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus raised himself up and said, and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, quote, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Wow. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." No, you know what he was doing? He was reaching out to her with love and forgiveness instead of condemnation. And that's the example we are to use with the most wicked and vile sinners that are out there, if we're going to follow what Jesus did. Now, does that mean Jesus never talked about sin? No. Take your Bibles and go back to Matthew chapter 23. Verse 25. "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." These are Jesus' words. I want you to notice the difference in the way that Jesus talked to a woman caught in the act of adultery and the way he talked to the religious leaders. To her, he said, "I don't condemn you. Don't go sin anymore." To the religious leaders, he said, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence." He's talking about them. He's using that as a metaphor of them. "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." You know, Jesus really doesn't fit in with Christianity today very well, does he? He's not judgmental of what you would consider to be the worst of sinners, but yet he is very direct and judging, if you will, the hypocrites who profess to be God's followers but don't live it in their lives. And I'll tell you, if Jesus was here right now and here today amongst American Christianity, I guarantee you he would be much, much more critical and condemning of the church than he would be of the rest of the population because of the hypocrites and the judgmental attitudes. Now, this leaves a question that needs to be resolved, and that is, how do we deal then with sin in the church? Because sin does come into the church. And if we're not going to be judgmental, people are going to say, "Well, you know, I'm living in sin, but you shouldn't say anything to me about it." All right? And that's a valid issue that needs to be dealt with. So let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul tells us. I'm going to start in verse 9. I see why I wrote it down wrong. Because I had the text open and I looked. Right after the last verse is chapter 6 starts, and I just looked at that 6 and wrote down 6 instead of 5. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. Verse 9, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world." You see what he's saying? He commanded him, don't be friends with, don't do things with sexually immoral people who are part of the church, who are Christians, or claim to be Christians. He's saying, I don't want to apply that standard to people who are outside. We're to apply a different standard to them. All right, what does that mean? It means we should befriend sexually immoral people. That's what it means, who are unbelievers, who don't profess Christ. All right, if you have people on your job, how many of you have people on your job who are sexually immoral people? Well, lots of hands. That's because there's lots of sexually immoral people out there. You know what? You should befriend them. You should befriend them. You know why? So you can do some of that. Okay? So you can show them the love of God, the love of Christ. And when you are befriending them, judge not. Don't condemn. Find a way to do something good for them. Find a way to show them the love of Christ. So look what he goes on to say, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside, that is unbelievers? It's not my place, is what Paul's saying. It's not my place to judge the unbelievers. And it's not your place either. Why? It's the Holy Spirit's place. Listen, if we will show those people the love of Christ and not be judgmental of them, the Holy Spirit will do the work of conviction on the inside. He will do it. All right? And if they've hardened their heart to the point where the Holy Spirit is not going to speak to them anymore, or they're not receptive to the Holy Spirit anymore, then your words are not going to help. Your words of judgmentalism are not going to help at all. They're not going to turn them. If the Holy Spirit can't turn them, you can't turn them. Show them the love of Christ. All right? Don't be judgmental. Verse 13. Those that are outside, God judges. God judges. Leave it to God. All right? Leave it to Him. All right. In conclusion, I want you to just turn over to the book of Colossians. I'm going to wrap this up in the next 3 minutes, hopefully. The book of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 5. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul sums up how we as Christians are to live according to Christ's commandment. He says this, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. He uses that same word outside, meaning unbelievers, those who are not professing Christians. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, or as you interact with them on your job. Do it in wisdom, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. In other words, the opposite of condemning. Okay? Always with grace. Seasoned with salt. Do you know where Paul's borrowing that phrase from? Anybody? The Sermon on the Mount. Remember what Jesus said at the beginning of the sermon? You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, wherewith will it be salted? And then the very next statement, you are the light of the world. Right? He's talking about us as he sent us out into the world. We are to be salt. And so he says, as we are mingling with these people who are wicked, these people who are unsaved, these people who are living in all kinds of sin, we are to be salt. And how are we being salt? Not rubbing salt in the wound. I guarantee you it's not that way. It's talking about flavor. All right? Our speech is to be seasoned with grace. Grace. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's what he says. How you ought to answer each one. You know, a lot of people when they're trained, Christians are trained to go out and witness and so forth. You know, we have a little step program. You do this, you do this. If they say this, you say that. You know, you use this verse and that's it, and you send them out. You know, it really requires a lot more than that. It requires wisdom. He says we ought to learn how that we ought to answer each person. Every person is in a different place in their life. All right? But however we're going to answer them, we do it with grace. It's with grace. It's with God's love. It's with God's forgiveness. Doesn't mean God approves of their lifestyle. It means God loves them and He provided the way so that they could be forgiven. And that's what we have to constantly portray. If we're going to be effective lights in the world, we must do these four things. Here they are. Number one, not judge. Okay? Not judge, not be judgmental. Number two, we've got to walk in holiness ourselves so that our life, not our mouth, speaks condemnation of sin. Number three, we are to show forth the love of God to the vilest of sinners through acts of kindness, through turning the other cheek, right? Defeating evil with good. Number four on that list. And number four here, always be ready to give a defense of our faith and do it with grace and testify what God has done for us. That's how we reach that other 40% who want nothing to do with Christianity. All right, we've got to reflect the real Jesus Christ in our lives, not the church lady. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I pray that this message will speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, that we will realize that we are not perfect, that we are sinners just like everyone else. The difference being, Lord, that we are forgiven and we're seeking to follow Christ as you give us the power. And Lord, I pray that we would not look down our noses on anyone else for their lifestyle or anything that they do, Lord, but that we would seek to show them the love of God and how much he loved them by sending his son into this world.